the income approach to valuing property is not new at all. If you're buying a property as a rental, you're going to look at what it can generate. And you've always looked at it that way if you're a business person. If you're buying your forever home, you can pay whatever you want. The market can decide. You can use comps to look at that. You're not going to use the income approach because there's no income being generated from that property.
If you're a residential real estate agent earning $200,000 a year and you want to grow your passive income, this show's for you. Learn the secrets other agents use and hear from experts in our field in order to guide you along your journey to investing in assets like apartment communities so that you can turn your commissions into cash flow. I'm Randall DeCleard. Let's go, baby.
All right. Welcome back. It's good to have you here today. I posted a video on my shorts the other day and on Instagram and had a ton of people watch it and give some feedback. So I thought it'd be interesting to go through and kind of discuss that video and what it's about. So it is how to buy 10 houses before you're 30 years old. And that's what's going to make you rich, right? Or make you grow your wealth. And so I'll put a link to it in the show notes if you want to go watch it. It's like about 30 seconds long, but it had some comments and I wanted to go through and actually address those comments here. If you're getting value out of the show, go on, rate and review. If you hear a bunch of noise, I've got roofers going on. I got plumbers here. We got AC being installed. So we've got all kinds of stuff actually working at the property right now. So I apologize for the noise. And then for my nasal, I apologize for that too. Still trying to get over this sickness that I've had for a while. So let's dive in. I'm going to talk about the video and I'm going to go through and actually teach a little bit here so that if you have the same feelings as some of the commenters, you'll get something out of this. All right. Okay. So the gist of the video is how to buy 10 properties before you are 30 years old. And the whole point of that is to show you that if you start young and you just buy 10 properties, you're going to have a ton of wealth. And I think it's like Millionaire Next Door. They talk about how you can buy 10 properties. I think that's the book. I may be wrong. If I'm wrong, comment and I'm sure I'll get some flack from it. That's okay. So again, the gist of the strategy is, this is a 30-second video. Start young, buy a property, and then every year try to buy one more property. So over 10 years, you have 10 houses. Those 10 houses, you own those things for the long term, creates wealth, and you have this equity spread and you have income coming in. Just hold those properties, right? And it'll be a great investment of your time, energy, and money. So that was the video, and I'm going to go through and read some of the comments. At PepperJackTV6827 goes, "This, my friends, is called over-leveraging. Any minor crash in the real estate market and you're toast." I disagree. Thanks for your comment. But if you get to these comments, I'm happy to go through and talk about them on air. The reason I think this is a silly comment is because if you actually follow anything else that we talk about and things that I've been putting out and the course and all that, the whole idea of real estate investing is that you're buying at a discount from retail. So if you're going through and you are, I think the comment I put in here is you buy $100,000 house, your all-in cost is $100,000, but that house is worth $133,000. That's a 30% spread on that property and increase the property value, but increase that spread, it stays the same. And you do that by either going direct to seller and you do the marketing, you do the effort, you put that effort in to go to the seller and negotiate with them, or you buy from like a wholesaler that is already negotiating that discount for you so that your all-in is going to be around 70, 75% of the actual retail value of that property. I mean, that gives you a big spread. If the market corrects and goes down by 50%, then you still have that spread. If you have to sell that property from the full retail value that went down 50%, you're not going to lose all your money. You will lose some money. But the whole idea of this strategy is that you're buying for long-term holds. So you yourself going through and actually looking for the property and buying a long-term hold that you then have to sell in a year, you didn't do your job on the front end of finding your goals, making sure you're properly situated to buy that property, all those things, right? So all of that aside, the comment also makes me feel like you're living in a world of possibilities rather than probabilities. Is it possible that the market will correct and go down by 50%? It's possible. Is it probable? No, it's not. And even if it does happen, in the small probability that that does happen, if you have to sell, you're not going to lose all your money. But if you just hold that property like the long-term purchase that you were supposed to be buying it for and you keep renting it out, chances are very high, it is very probable that you will end up getting that same equity spread or higher, because if you look at historical data on real estate prices, they continue to march up and up and up, okay? Again, is it possible that they don't march up? Yeah. Is it probable? Not really, just based on inflation and long-term, right? So anyway, that's comment number one. This one is good. At Devin Pendergast 9277. He goes, "Who the F has 20 to 40 to spend on homes every year before they're 30? Fair comment, right? And he goes, need to have money to spend that money. So while that's true, yes, if you are working and you're putting money aside, then you can save that money. Maybe you don't start at age 20, maybe you start at 22 and you put the money aside. But even that said, there are plenty of ways in real estate investing for you to go out and earn money. I started real estate investing. I have $5,000 in my account, literally $5,000 to my name. And I spent that not on buying a house, but I spent that on marketing so that I could go direct to seller. So I went direct to seller. I found a property and I wholesaled it. So again, wholesaling itself doesn't even take $5,000. If I were doing it again and I had no money at all and I just had a day job, maybe I'm flipping burgers at a place and that's all I'm doing in my spare time, I'm going to be driving neighborhoods. I'm going to be putting flyers on the door that cost me a few cents to make. Maybe if I go to Kinko's or something that doesn't even exist anymore, putting flyers on doors with my phone number on it and wait for people to call me. I mean, that's one way. That's my phone number on it. That's kind of still targeted to a neighborhood that I want to be buying in. And I'd be knocking on the door at the same time. So if they answer, it's an instant opportunity to purchase something that cost me a little bit of shoe leather so that I could go out and have that, or rubber. I don't know, leather, I guess, is back in the day. So anyway, again, a lot of the comments on here I get, it's either lazy or it's just not understanding the process, which is fair, right? If you don't understand how some of the dollars can be made in real estate to get started and to build up a little bit of a war chest so that you can then go out and buy these rentals, then that's fair. But a lot of it just seems like lazy comments. You got to do the work. So again, if you go out and you wholesale property, if you know what you're doing and you have 10 bucks, then you can put an option on a property, $10 out of your pocket to secure that option. And then you go around and you have a piece of paper that you're selling. That's a contract that you're selling. Option to buy that property at $50,000. I turn around and sell that piece of paper that cost me $10 for $55,000. That 10 bucks just yielded me a massive return, right? $5,000 on $10 spend, and you get your $10 back. So it's just kind of silly to assume that you can't go out and do this. It just takes effort on that. It's a lot more effort than it is money to start in real estate if you don't have money, right? And then once you do that a couple times, if you can do one wholesale per year and you have another full-time job that you're working and you do one wholesale per year, and most wholesales are going to earn you about 10 grand, right? Some is going to be 50, some can be 100. If you're doing commercial property, it can be a lot of money, significant amount of money. But if you do one a year, then after a few, maybe 2 years, you have enough money if you just put it aside to go and buy a rental property. And then that shouldn't be an excuse anymore. And then once you get good at wholesaling, maybe you do two, maybe you do three a year, and you just build up a little bit of a war chest that way. The other thing that you can do is once you do a couple wholesales and you have a little bit of money, then you can go do a flip. Right? That's how I started as well. I felt like every deal that I went to acquire was so difficult to get. Like finding the deal was so hard. Like I didn't want to just simply wholesale it. I wanted to maximize the profit that I could get on that deal. And at the time I was doing it, it was absolutely rehabbing the house. There was more money on that deal by me rehabbing it and having a product that I could then sell rather than just a wholesale fee of $5,000 or whatever it was. So once you have some of that money built up from wholesaling, you simply put that, you go talk to a hard money lender, you go talk to private lenders, you go talk to guys, and then you turn that into, sorry, there's a lot of noise, you turn that into a flip that you can do that you can generate $25,000 to $50,000 in profit on those things. Okay, so I hope that covered that a bit. This is another. All right, so Narzi's one, like you chose the wrong parents. Idiotic comment. SPEB42, daddy's money. Like to me, you two, lazy. That's an absolutely lazy comment. Like I grew up in a mobile home, right? My parents didn't have money. My dad's a Baptist pastor and chaplain and mom's dental assistant. I mean, it's like you don't need money to go out and make money in real estate. You just need a process. You need a strategy to go out and do it. So I love the comments of people. If you put a stupid comment or if you put some kind of inane comment or something that just reeks of laziness to me, then I'm going to blast you out there. I'm good with that. It's just my personality type. I'm like, you're super lazy. So, all right, here's another comment. This one is by Commodore 4499. It says, houses are no longer priced by what they're worth, but how much money they can generate. And that's a fair statement, but it's not new. Like the income approach to valuing property is not new at all. If you're buying a property as a rental, you're going to look at what it can generate And you've always looked at it that way if you're a business person. If you're buying your forever home, you can pay whatever you want for that. The market can decide. You can use comps to look at that for recent sales. You're not going to use the income approach because there's no income being generated from that property. Any investor, anybody who's looking at a property as an investment is always going to use the income approach, or most likely is going to use the income approach, because they need to know if they put their money to work, what the return is going to be. Like, it's just obvious. All right. Another comment. Here we go. Jet XXB. I'd have millions of highly leveraged debt by the time you're 30. There's no possible way that that could go poorly, right? So I addressed this, I think, before, but the whole idea of buying a property is that you're investing in property, is that you're learning from me and other investors and other podcasts and other people who have done this, how to buy at a lower price than full retail. So again, if you're going to MLS and you're going, oh yeah, I'm going to buy 123 Main Street for $200,000 and it's worth $200,000. Yeah, you're going to be in a pickle if anything ever goes wrong in the economy and you have to sell, right? So just buy right, figure out how to do that by listening to what we say, me and other people who have done this before, and have a 20 to 30% spread on your purchase if you're investing in property. Yeah, it's called wealth building and it works quite nicely. That's, I think, my comment that I said to him. All right. And then finally, I had one that's what made me want to make this video. So at Multivalandis says, if I had money to buy a rental property, I would, but I don't. So don't tell me how to get rich if I already am. Okay. So my comment to you would be, go out, and if you want to be in real estate and you want to be buying property, and this is a mode that you want to use to create wealth and create income for yourself, then learn the little strategies that you can implement that will grow and incrementally grow your cash reserves so that you can then buy these rental properties, okay? So one is wholesaling. We talk about it a lot, right? Here's a quick strategy. Literally print a flyer out for your neighborhood, put your picture on it, and go and get a roll of tape. And these flyers, you can do yellow paper, yellow cardstock with black print. Just looks like a postcard. Looks like a Yellow Pages type deal. Put your picture on it, black and white. Don't spend a lot of money on this thing. FedEx, have them print off, 100 of these things. Two per page, cut them in half. And so you have 400 flyers. Whenever you have an hour, go walk a neighbor, put it on their door. If it's metal door, do not put tape on people's wooden doors. It's just a little like tip. Put it somewhere that they'll see it. And then do this either at night. So if you're doing it at night, knock on the door. If they answer the door, just hand it to them. Say, hey, look, I'm trying to buy property in this neighborhood and I live down the street or whatever. Like, be honest with them about what it is. I think this is a great neighborhood. We've been trying to buy something and I think I'd love to talk to you about this. High probability that the houses that have high weeds, they don't look like they've been upkept, whatever it is, there's some problem with the property, that those are more likely to either call you or be people who would be candidates for a decent deal that you could buy, because there's a value add component to it. There's a little bit of spread. There's going to be some issue with the property. If the property was just built yesterday, don't go target those neighborhoods. Don't go target those houses. Go to houses that were 80s, like in San Antonio. I could go walk on the east side and flyer that whole neighborhood, but there's a lot of rentals in there. And so that's not a great use of my time. So for those neighborhoods, if it's mostly rental neighborhoods, you need to get a list. Go to your county appraisal district and you say, hey, I'm looking for the entire list of owners in this entire area. Most places, like here in Bexar County, they'll give it to you. It's on a disc and it's got like gigs of data, right? It's free, or $50 or whatever it costs. And then I have the entire ownership of my entire city or county on this disc, and I can go through and manipulate that data as I see fit. For me, what I would do is, if I know a neighborhood or I know a zip code that I want to go after, then I would simply take that zip code and I would filter my spreadsheet, the Excel spreadsheet, by absentee owners or non-owner occupieds, because I know those are rental properties. And then I could send out a flyer directly to those people. All you do is you call up a mail house or you print the postcards yourself. Mail house is a lot easier. Maybe you pay a little bit more, but not too much more. And you just say, here's my list. Let's create a little flyer that goes out to them with a phone number on it and send it. And then answer your phone. Just answer your phone. Talk to them. Talk to people and say, hey, thanks for calling. I'm just trying to buy a property in the neighborhood. Are you interested in selling? Obviously, they are. They called you. I can go through scripts and all kinds of stuff later. We have all this stuff. I have it on a course. If you want access to some of the marketing that we've used in the past for direct mail, absolutely happy to share that. just shoot me an email, shoot me a comment, or go to commissiontocashflow.com, sign up for the course, and we can get you on our list. So again, now you have your list, now you have your marketing piece, you send that thing out, you're answering your phone, and that is one just way that you can go out and go direct to seller, either by knocking on doors, putting flyers up, or sending out some postcards. And you're going to get some phone calls, you're going to get some people that are ready to sell, but it might take some time. But again, it's a very inexpensive way for you to go out, and even if you're working full-time somewhere else, to build up some cash reserves from doing these deals incrementally, right? And if you just add this one strategy on, even if it costs you $500 a month, which is, you'd have to spend some money on postcards for it to cost you that much, the return, once you get a deal and you sell that deal, is going to be probably 10x that, right? So if it costs you $500, you're making $5,000. I mean, that's a pretty solid return on your investment. But I don't think it would cost you that much if you're doing it the right way. So anyway, multi-Volandis, that's one way to like build up your capital reserves. And if you have any questions, by all means, hit me up, podcast@agentbuildingcashflow.com. Happy to chat with you about it and kind of go through that a little bit more, or just sign up for the course. It's free. It's commissiontocashflow.com. All right, guys, this has been a good episode on some of the basics of real estate investing. And the video's there if you want to check it out. It's pretty funny that the comments came out the way they did. All right, it was great having you on today, and we will catch you on the next episode.
Surprisingly, most of the agents we speak with got into real estate hoping to gain passive income and become work optional. However, only 1 in 5 ever start investing. Most are simply too afraid to start. Once you get educated by listening to this show, you'll be able to overcome that fear and become the 1 in 5 who are finding financial freedom. Don't miss a single episode. If you want to stay up to date, the best way is to make sure you're subscribed. So if you haven't done that, go ahead and do it now. And we'll catch you on the next episode.